This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
We do have our guest in, as promised. We have, now I want to make sure that I'm saying this right, Tommy Amason.
Amason, Caleb.
Amason. Okay, just, I was putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable there. But Tommy Amason, and he is running for District 2, so you're running for Martha Roby's seat, the one that she currently occupies, correct?
That's right.
Okay. Get a little closer to the mic there. Yeah. But it's great to have you in this morning for what I just learned is actually his first radio interview. So I'm sure you'll do well. But I told him, he's like, I've done TV before. I was like, oh, this is way easier than TV. You don't even have to worry about looking nice for the camera. That's why I do radio. But anyway, great to have you in. So just real quick, and this is usually how I start, especially with people that are kind of new to the political realm. What is it that just made you have a desire to run for office?
Well, Caleb, actually, I thought I needed another job. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. Hey, look, I believe we've seen a movement in 2016. Mm. We elected a president with little to no political experience. Now, we've done that as a majority because the people believe through his agenda that we can make America great again and we can make America safe again. And the people spoke. And I believe that through my career, whether it's civilian, whether it's military, that I can bring that same leadership to this district. And we want to try to get the career politicians, you know, they touted the phrase drain the swamp for what, a year and a half?
Yep.
And there's not a better candidate in this race to make that happen than I am.
All right, well, why do you say that you're the most qualified to drain the swamp? Why are you the epitome of an anti-establishment candidate, as it were? What gives you that aspect of your candidacy?
Okay, first of all, Caleb, I am a blue-collar worker. Mm. This coming August, I will go over 30 years in the Army, where I'm currently serving as a Command Sergeant Major in the United States Army Reserves.
Well, I think I speak for my audience when I say I appreciate that service greatly.
Thank you much. Thank you. It's the non-political career.
Mm-hmm.
It's the just wanting to serve the people, being a true servant. You know, that's what the people are looking for, and that's what I'm going to offer.
Well, that's great, because I will tell you that was really the design that our founders had.
That's right.
Because there was never the idea that there would be a political class, that being a politician would be an actual career, and the way that you make your livelihood was something that was foreign to our founders. They envisioned and wanted citizen politicians that came in, did their time, and then went back to their regular life after a few years.
Let the next, hopefully true servant come in and do the same. You are 100% correct, Caleb.
All right. Now, I want to ask you some stuff on policy, obviously, because it's important to have the idea, the mantra, but it's also important to actually have, because essentially when you break it all down, when you boil it all down, what an elected official does is vote. I mean, obviously, there's other parts of the job. There's the public aspect. There's the research and all that. But at the end of the day, really, we're just hiring you to vote. And so I got to know a couple things about how you would have voted. If you had been in office when this omnibus bill that just came through, this $1.3 trillion bill that just came through, the spending bill, how would you have voted on that?
Well, first, Caleb, I would have ensured that myself, my staff, that we read that bill. We would have known what was in the bill, first off. I would not have voted for that bill. I wouldn't have even thought for a second about voting for the bill. And I think it's deplorable that we had so many Republican positions that voted for this bill.
Yeah, only two representatives from the state of Alabama voted against it. and that would be Gary Palmer and Mo Brooks. And so the person, for example, the seat that you're trying to take, District 2, Martha Roby, she voted in favor of this thing. And, you know, that is something to take into consideration. But here's the thing, and I know that, you know, being a vet, having that experience, one of the excuses that was often used for voting in favor of it, one of the reasons that they gave for doing this is like, well, we had to fund the military. We didn't want to put military families in a bind. So being someone who was a vet yourself, obviously that would have been a consideration. So would you have still not voted for the bill, even knowing that, you know, you might have to put military spending on hold for a while? How would you have handled that kind of pressure?
I truly believe whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, that we're all Americans. We would have funded the military, you know. So I believe that was just a political ploy.
So you think that was more of an excuse than an actual reason? They were just looking for a way to vote for it, and that was their justification? Or do you think that that actually was a big concern for them?
It could have possibly been a concern for some of them, but the actions themselves was the political side. And, you know, it's a shame that our military and our citizens, that's what we're dealt with. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, I personally believe our government's sole responsibility is what? Take care of the people, to protect the people. So what's the number one first concern? Fund the military.
That is one of the legitimate functions of the constitutional system. I mean, you don't have that many, but one thing I wanted to ask you, too, because I'm trying to hit all the hot-button issues right now. I know you're going to be asked a lot of questions about this in the coming weeks up into the primary. How would you have handled, is there any legislation that you would have supported or at least advocated for when it comes to stopping these school shootings? Because I know that that's been in the news a lot lately. Of course, you had the tragedy with Parkland. Is there any legislation that you can come up with that you would have supported or sponsored yourself had you been in the House at this time that would do something to try to curtail school shootings that are going on across the country?
Well, as far as legislation, Caleb, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but what I can tell you is here we have another political ram going. These school shootings... When's the last time you heard of a prom queen or queen going out and killing a group of students? When's the last time you heard of a student government official going out and killing a group of students? You know, this, we have to get off the gun issue. Mm-hmm. This is not a gun problem. This is a heart problem. This is a person problem. And we have to start looking in the right areas. I mean, there's things we can change, and there's issues that we have to fix, but we have to go to the source, you know, as to why these kids are doing this, not what type of weapon are they pulling their finger on the trigger with. You know, I mean, that to me, we're barking up the wrong tree.
And okay.
We need to go to source first.
All right. So just kind of giving a more general question, what would you see as the number one issue that you would want to tackle? Like, what would be day one, the thing that you would be most excited about, the thing that you would most want to tackle once getting to the House? Is there any kind of legislation specifically you would want to write, want to sponsor? What's the number one issue for you?
The number one issue, Caleb, I want on day one is an appointment with the Secretary of the VA. We have so many veterans issues that are being held up, and I want to know why. You know, I mean, there's some good been done in the last year and a half for our veterans, but not enough. And even those, let's say the choice program, okay? Pretty good program, but even as good as it is, it still has multiple flaws. And, you know, if you're a disabled veteran or veteran at all and you have an issue, the choice program, if you live within the designated mile radius of a clinic or VA hospital, you know, you can't get treatment if for a certain issue if you live within that designated mile radius. Well, I have two gentlemen on my staff now that fall into that category. They have health issues that they can't get treated because the clinics that they're within the designated mile radius, they don't have doctors who see that. So that's all I'm getting at. We still have issues that we will address and we need to address. So day one, that's where I'm going.
Well, now I gotta say, just kind of looking back at that, there was a time in this country where, especially you're looking at around the 50s era, the 60s, that kind of thing, where a lot of our elected officials had a military background. And that just about vanished completely by the time we got to the 2000s. We've seen a little bit of a resurgence with it. We've got guys like Lee Zeldin in that served. I believe Louis Gohmert served at one time. I don't think he ever saw combat, but I do believe he served. But anyway, we are seeing kind of a resurgence of that, and I'm hoping that will motivate people to look at the VA, look at that issue more closely, and maybe we're seeing, like you said, some headway in those areas. But what specifically about the VA would you want to fix? I mean, you kind of gave a broad issue and said that it's important to you, and I 100% believe you, especially you being a vet yourself. But what specifically, what area in the VA would you most want to correct?
Healthcare for our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you asking me about the VA here in our district?
Well,
VA overall.
I was actually going overall, but if you want to get specific, by all means.
Well, Caleb, the VA holds town halls across the district, you know, like once a quarter.
Mm.
Now, I send a couple of reps in October, I believe it was, November to Dothan, and the sentiment that came from that town hall meeting, the number one complaint that come from the veterans was lack of representation for them, you know. And there was so many issues come out of there. Let's say, I'm gonna just throw one out there. I doubt you're aware of it. The VA rep actually told the veterans in attendance that the VA has phone numbers set in place. He called them black holes. They didn't go to anybody. They were just set up to make the veteran feel good when they called, you know, that they was able to get a line, but they didn't get anybody. Nobody. They called them black holes.
So they just bounce you around from one answering service to the other.
That's right.
Well, that's...
We're going to eliminate those type of issues, Caleb.
See, that's what bothers me about just bureaucracy in general, is that they'd much rather make it look like they're fixing the problem so they can campaign on it than actually fix the problem. But we'll get more into that in just a second. We're a little bit past break, but we'll be back with more. That is Tommy Amason. He's here with me today. He's running for District 2 for that includes most I know that I'm in it, Elmore County. You're actually, if you won, you would be my representative. So includes a lot of people in the River region. I got to ask this because, of course, you know, we talk about legislation, we talk about the issues, but there's also a procedural side to the House. And that's really important because depending on who's in charge, who the leadership is, where people are in committees, that greatly affects the efficiency and what kind of policy comes out of the House. So my question to you would be, are you somebody that supports Speaker Paul Ryan?
Well, Caleb, I'm somebody who would like to support all of our leadership.
Sure.
You know, when you come up through the ranks of the Army the way that I have, you know, I'm trying to figure how to say this without you know, it sounding bad, but Barack Obama was my commander in chief.
Right.
And as a senior leader in the Army, I backed Barack Obama 100%. You know, now, did I vote for President Obama? No, I didn't. So I guess what I'm saying is I would like to put my trust in all of our leaders. But I'm going to tell you, we have a political landscape going on right now that is just absolutely terrible. You know, we need our Republican leadership backing President Trump. And we have to get on board with that.
Okay, so there are rumors that have just recently come out that he may actually be stepping down this summer as Speaker. Now, he's still going to serve, according to what we know so far, he's still going to serve as a representative for Wisconsin, but he is going to be stepping down as Speaker. So if that were to take place and those rumors happen to be true, give us an example of somebody that you would support as Speaker of the House. Now, I know if that happens this summer, you won't be in office in time to do this, but just theoretically to give us an idea of the kind of representative you would be, who's an example of somebody that you would support that you would like to see as Speaker of the House?
Personally, I would have supported Trey Gowdy, but, you know, he's leaving.
So right, he's leaving too.
I think
we're losing all the good ones.
Exactly. That's what I think. It would be unfair right now to sit there and say that, because it seems like every week somebody else is pulling out. You know, I'm not 100% sure on that, Caleb.
Okay. Well, which of the Alabama delegation, because I think this is a pretty good scale, because people that pay attention to it, they know who these guys are. Out of all the Alabama delegation in the House, which one would you say you're the most similar to, just to give us a kind of idea of how you would vote and how you would be in the House?
Gary Palmer.
Gary Palmer?
That's right.
Okay. So most similar to Gary Palmer. Why do you say that? Why? What aspect of Gary Palmer do you think makes you most similar to him?
Well, and the conservatism, you know, and not just myself, this district that we live in, we're pretty close to probably the most conservative district in the state, you know, and
which is a shame that Martha Roby's our representative, if that's the case, because that's certainly not. I mean, you don't have to say it if you don't want to, but I'm going to say it. They know how I feel about Martha Roby.
I've actually said it a lot, Caleb. You know, and representation. I don't understand how you are the Congress person for one of the most conservative districts within the state, but you vote 50% of the time with the liberals. I can't comprehend that, and that to me makes me feel terrible. You know, that tells me that I don't have a vote, that I don't have a voice. And
I think a lot of people in this district, myself included, feel that way. Well, thank you so much, Tommy, for being with us. We appreciate it. That's Tommy Amason. He's running for District 2. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me, Caleb.
All right.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt. Every weekday from 9 to 11. Only on News Radio 1440 and newsradio1440.com.